Our next two calls focus on trust and trauma. Dr. Alice Benton and Mark Cameron come alongside Mitch as he shares his difficulty in trusting women. Then, Chris Williams and Dr. Jill Hubbard share with Dee about dealing with her fear and anxiety stemming from her childhood trauma.
Mitch, thanks for calling in today.
The reason for my call is I'm having issues trusting women. I've been divorced for 11 years, wife had an affair, and don't trust women.
So you haven't had any relationships since then? You haven't dated anyone? You're just, and when you say you don't trust women, you're talking about not even in dating relationships?
Right. I haven't dated in 11 years.
Okay. Mark?
Yeah. So Mitch, so how is this impacting your life right now? Is it because you're wanting to date and you don't feel like you can?
I would like to date. I just, like I said, I just have trust issues.
Okay. As you describe some of your experience, your history, that makes sense. Your wife had an affair, and that's a big breach of trust. When we get married, our spouse becomes our new attachment figure for us, and they're our person. And so when there's a breach of trust in that relationship, especially to the depth of an affair, that's a wound. And it creates trauma, betrayal trauma, and we carry that around with us. Have you done any work to work through that? Personal work with a therapist?
I have, and it doesn't seem to help. I think for me is the therapy that I get, getting to know more about women, seems that I trust women less by going through the therapy.
Do you have a male therapist or a female therapist?
I've had two female therapists. I've had a male therapist as well.
What is the therapy unearthing about your relationship with other women in your life that's worsening your trust in them?
Well, I think it started when with my mom. I didn't trust my mom. And so I disliked her for her treating me different than my siblings. I was pretty much the scapegoat out of my siblings. And I think as I was getting older, I realized that I didn't know how to verbally explain it or understand it. And as I was going to counseling, I realized that I didn't trust my mom. And then I had a big trust issue with women. I mean, I love women. It's just, I don't know how to communicate, I would say, just because I didn't trust my mom. I don't know if that's making sense, but that's kind of what I gathered.
Do you have a relationship with your mom now?
No, I don't.
And she's still alive?
No, she just passed about a month ago.
So you're in grief too.
Yeah.
And
I don't really know. I would say this. I didn't go to my mom's funeral.
Okay.
And the reason why is because I was sad, not because I lost my mom. I was sad because I didn't have a mom.
Yeah. So sometimes that's how grief plays out for us. Sometimes we grieve the relationship that we didn't have, that we wanted to have, that we actually should have had. And so it sounds like you are still shut off from some of those emotions. And, you know, we get to a higher level of emotional intelligence when we can realize how our past is actually impacting us in our present. So you've had these two important female attachment figures who have wounded you deeply, and those don't get separated in our mind. They actually get joined together. And as you had explained earlier on, you didn't know how to verbalize it. But as we learn to put story to our experiences, our brain starts to integrate and it starts to move memories around. And so that's why therapy, particularly when we explore our past experiences, is very helpful. Even though we're just talking about it, something is actually biologically happening in our brain. And so I would suggest, you know, continuing along that same path with a therapist, exploring, you know, putting more language to how you were hurt by your mother. But then we also need to re-experience. We need to have a new experience to override the old experience. And so that's why if you do have a female therapist, you can learn to build trust with that person. And that way your brain can start to differentiate and say, okay, this person who was a female was harmful to me over here, but now I'm starting to have new experiences with another female over here, and those are healthy. And as you learn to have more of those in the present, those can start to override the painful trauma that you've had. And I would start with a female therapist. I mean, it sounds like you have had one in the past. Did you feel like you built a strong connection and trust with that person or those people?
I've had two in the last 5 years.
How long did you stay with them?
Probably about two to three years.
So you had a significant amount of work with them. That's good.
Oh, I've been in therapy for probably 10 years.
You're experiencing something about how in therapy, it feels like we get worse before we get better. Because your broken trust, it's like a broken bone that was not set correctly. It healed, but it partially healed. And that broken bone, in order to fix it, sometimes it needs to be rebroken and an infection cleaned out and then reset. And then to get your arm strong, you have to add stress to your healing arm to rebuild the muscle around the bone. Therapy is like that, where you have to go back in identifying those wounds, cleaning them out by talking about them and processing, which it sounds like you did a lot of. You're probably now in that adding in healthy stress stage to now rebuild the trust. But because your mother passed away so recently, it's like the broken bone was re-injured. Even if it was a relief in a strange way for her to pass away, it did reveal more of the neglect and the way she had mistreated you. It brought it back up to the surface for you again. The way to get through pain is to keep processing and re-entering with a guide. If we avoid it, it grows in the background. And so adding that stress in, like the muscle around the bone, it's by purposefully entering into interactions with women to rebuild how you both have your radar system, how you identify who are safe people and who are not, and then how quickly you share information, become vulnerable or not. And you need the guidance of the therapist to do that. I really think a structured co-ed group would help you as well, so that you're in a therapeutic environment for the purpose of testing out trust, but under the guidance of a group clinician.
So if he went to a group, though, a co-ed group, like you said, and if would he verbalize this right away that I don't trust women? And then all of a sudden the women and that are in the group might say, oh, well, I got to, you know, watch what I say.
I would reframe slightly to say I'm here because I want to try to figure out how to trust. And I struggle with that.
Okay.
And it's by putting yourself in those social situations, doing little tests of revealing, letting your guard down, talking a little bit, but again, under guidance, that you learn to do what your mom was supposed to teach you to do, but she wasn't able to. Instead, she treated you like the scapegoat.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry for all this pain that you've been through. And I'm proud of you, Mitch, that you haven't given up on trying to trust women again, because you realize there's something missing in your life.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one thing that I've noticed is women that I'm attracted to that I would want to go on a date, I don't pursue that. But as far as women that I'm not attracted to, I'm okay. And the reason why I wanted to share the two examples is that I don't make eye contact with those women that I'm attracted to. I avoid them like the plague.
So that's another part of your life to add in healthy stress. With your therapist's help, there was a book that we used to have, How to Get a Date Worth Keeping. We don't keep it in our New Life store any longer, but it sets out such a great path of how to slowly but surely increase your exposure in non-sexualized ways to women to increase your confidence and your courage, even just by talking to an attractive woman at a Starbucks that you wouldn't date. But by having a little experience like that, you build up the muscle of your ability to make eye contact and to talk more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and what you're explaining there, image is what Alice said about the bone healing, but not in the wrong way. It's, you know, it's a good analogy, but it's not really healed. What happens is you develop a coping strategy to move forward. And that's, you know, what you're explaining there is somebody who you would be attracted to, it feels too vulnerable. So you don't make the eye contact so that you don't get invited into a relationship and then get let down. And that's probably something that you learned early on, maybe with your mother, to not make eye contact with her so that you could stay under the radar and not be wounded. I think How We Love would be a great resource for you if you don't have that book and you haven't read it.
The eyes really are a window to the soul. And when the soul has been hurt, avoiding eye contact is soul protection. But now it's time to update your system and figure out where that healthy stress can be allowed in.